from St. John's Gospel, the 19th chapter. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloth with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. This is the gospel of the Lord. What is it that we remember tonight? The death of an innocent man, to be sure. He was completely innocent of any wrongdoing. During his lifetime, he did nothing but good, helping the bruised and brokenhearted, healing the sick and possessed, and comforting the grieving. He alone perfectly fulfilled the demands of God's law and willingly submitted to the Father's will in every respect. Would it be appropriate to describe our remembrance as one that is filled with mixed emotions? Especially if we rightly remember all of God's promises associated with the work that was accomplished as these events unfolded and as he pronounced, "It is finished." On that night, Pilate's actions served as a supreme example of one sacrificing justice on the altar of satiating the sinful and evil desires of the angry masses so as not to rock the boat. Barabbas was a notorious prisoner. He indeed justly faced punishment for what he had done, including being mocked and insulted. But those actions were reserved for the innocent Lamb of God. And it was the devil himself that incited the mocking and jeering throughout the proceedings that night. And he kept goading these blind dupes even as Jesus hung bruised, battered, and bloodied upon the cross. Our Lord knows what we go through as we remember His death. He knows why there is a mix of emotions. You see, He knows of the guilt we feel as we remember that it was our sins that caused His sufferings. He also knows that as we desperately try to live out our lives of faith in this fallen world, that we experience suffering and hardship, especially as we share His unchanging word of truth to those around us who were living in darkness. He tasted the bitterness of suffering and death himself because of faithfulness to His word. But none of what I mentioned adequately plumbs the depths of the emotions that the church experiences this night, from profound sorrow to the heights of joy, many with tears in their eyes. They run the whole gamut of emotions. The reading of the Passion relates the cold hard facts. But it is from the inspired Word of the Lord in Hebrews that our eyes are opened to see with clarity what these facts truly mean. Since then we have a great High Priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In the days of His flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplication with loud cries and tears to Him who was able to save Him from death. And He was heard because of His reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who believe in him. These are the facts. Jesus of Nazareth was brutally nailed to the tree, fashioned in the shape of a cross, to suffer and die for us and for our salvation. And thanks be to God. And thanks be to God, he cried out, "It is finished." But you may ask, what in that is joyous? Remember, what did the author of Hebrews write? He has heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who believe him. For us to understand what Good Friday meant to our Lord, we have to begin with those words. Jesus is very clear that the events of Good Friday came to him as a result of the first promise that was given in the Garden of Eden. "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." Fellow redeemed, with fear and trembling, Jesus received and fulfilled the word that his Father established, even fulfilling the suffering and death that his word demanded as justice for sin. And according to his humanity, Jesus humbly prayed, "Not as I will, but as you will." Although he was the eternal Son of the Father, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And it was obedience that the human race owes to the Father. The obedience of those lovingly created by the Creator. The obedience of children made in the image of the Blessed Trinity. And it is this obedience that we have failed to render, isn't it? Sometimes it's as a result of our thoughtlessness. At other times, though, it's out of rebelliousness. Sometimes we find His Word to be too constraining. While at other times, we simply don't care. We just want to do what we want to do and to be damned the cost that our sins bring. It is, as the Lord inspired His prophet Isaiah to write, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Remembering such truth should cause each of us great sorrow, remorse, and contrition. But thanks be to God. Our Lord Jesus Christ came into our flesh so that He might be the man who would be man enough to be perfect and who would offer the perfect sacrifice that the Father demanded, to say to the Father, "Your will be done, not mine." When the church looks at Good Friday, she sees Jesus as that perfect man, as the perfect sacrifice, the one who does the will of the Father. But she does not see Him merely as an example in this regard, but above all, as her God-given substitute. All the obedience the human race has failed to render to the Father, the Lord Jesus goes forth to render on behalf of all, doing so for you. Such knowledge then sets us on the path to true and everlasting joy. He became the source of eternal salvation to all who believe Him. That you believe in the one the Father has sent. That you obey and trust in the perfect submission He rendered on your behalf. This is the great imperative and obedience of the gospel. That you receive the gifts God lovingly bestows upon you.
This then is the joy the church celebrates on Good Friday, rejoicing in that we have been given a great high priest who has brought the perfect sacrifice to His Father to atone for the sins of the world. And the Father accepts on behalf of all and for all that bloody sacrifice. And to demonstrate that it was acceptable in the eyes of the Father, He raised His Son from the dead. And as if it all, if that were not enough, our great high priest gives us the gift of His submissive relationship to the Father as our very own. Not only is He atoning for our sins, but He also becomes the new and living way. The new and living way in which we walk in this fallen world. It is a way that means we have been restored to our Heavenly Father for Jesus' sake. This is indeed the gift He bestowed upon you in baptism. There, surrounding you with His righteousness, vesting you, enrobing you with His forgiveness and righteousness, and He applied all the fruits of His sacrifice upon you. And the gift of faith that He has given you receives all those blessings. There in baptism, He planted you in the joy of a life where everything is to be seen as a gift from the Heavenly Father who loves you with an eternal love and promises that all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. All things. Including suffering and persecution. This is the way of life where the Father blesses you even through your own times and own moments before your death. Fellow redeemed, you are enabled through the Holy Spirit to pray with joy and say, "Your will be done." Because baptized into Him, you know that your sins have been completely paid for upon the cross of Christ. That your death has been destroyed in His dying. And that you will pass with your Lord through the gate of death to a joyful resurrection. All because of the gift of faith that you have been given, which enables you to believe in the God-man Jesus Christ, the second person of the Holy Trinity, who lived and died and rose again in perfect submission to the will of His Father to become the source of eternal salvation for you. Fellow redeemed, believe it for Jesus' sake. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.